Welcome to the Northeast Christian Podcast. We're so excited that you've decided to check out our weekly messages. We hope that you're challenged and inspired by what you're hearing today. We'd love to have you join us this weekend at one of our campuses or online at northeast.live. For more information on Northeast, visit us at necchurch.org. If you love the Northeast Podcast, subscribe to our channel and leave us a comment or a rating in the Apple Podcast Store.
Welcome back to church. I'm so glad to be with you again. Now, we are excited as next week, Tyler will be back to start a new series on the cross as we lead up to Easter, so you don't want to miss that. And also, I want to encourage you, if you don't yet have the Northeast app, go to the app store on your device and find that. The best way is to go to your app store and search Northeast Christian KY. Use those keywords, the app will pop up, and then everything that we talk about today will just be one tap away. Encourage you to go do that. So welcome back to week two on our Love the Ville playbooks in the church. And last week we got really honest and we said if you were going to describe your spiritual life, is the word that you would use be intentional? Would you use that word intentional? Now most of us would say we want to have a better prayer life, or we desire to read the Bible more, or we'd love it if we were at church every week or involved in community. And we have the best intentions of doing all these things, but having the best intentions does not make us intentional. Now, most of you all probably started 2021 with a resolution, and if you had a solid plan, you're still at it, only 42 weeks to go. But if you said you'll figure it out as you go along, and chances are you quit a few weeks ago. Now, I've never really gotten into the New Year's resolution thing. I always had more of an aim at a vacation resolution. So like in June, my family is going to Disney World, and we're so excited about it. And so as we get a couple months closer, I know that I'll want to look really good in all those family photos. So in a couple months, I'm going to get online, and I'm going to order my beach body. Yep. And well, actually, I have Prime, so I can wait till like the weekend before. And that's how I'll be ready for Suns Out, Guns Out, right? Is that how it works? It has not worked yet. And the same is true with our spiritual lives. Same is true. You know, can I say this as your friend? That's why. That's why when you look back over these last few years, you haven't changed. You know, when you first started following Jesus, you had this zeal, this energy, and there was one breakthrough after another. That one destructive habit, you just broke it. That person that you said you can never forgive, you forgave him. You started living this life of joy that you never thought possible. But then as the newness of following Christ wore off, so did the changes. And now when you look back years later, you see that you just haven't changed. And actually, to be honest, you reverted back to some of those old behaviors. And every person that I talk to who's found themselves in this place, it's not that they desired this to happen. It just happened. Life just happens. And sometimes we forget what's most important, and we sometimes do just what's most easy, what's right there. You know, we have every good intention to grow in Christ, but that does not make us intentional. You don't need good intentions. You need a plan. You need a playbook. And that's why we brought out these playbooks again, because it helps us focus on what matters most. It helps us prioritize where we're going to unleash love. And I like my playbook because it gives me a constant reminder of what I've said is most important. When I'm at home, what's most important? Well, my playbook says it's my wife and my kids. Otherwise, it might be that Netflix series. And to get more specific, my kids are older now. I've got two away at college, and my 16-year-old, he doesn't need me to tuck him into bed like he used to. And so now at bedtime, I can find myself on another side of the house working on a project or watching a show or playing a game. And my wife, I know, is going to be up in bed, cross-stitching or reading with the Hallmark Channel in the background. Anyone else dealing with the Hallmark Channel in the background? We're going to get through this together. Say it with me. We're going to get through this. Before I know it, my wife has gone to sleep, and I was not there, and I didn't tell her goodnight and that I loved her. And that's why in my playbook, one of the things that I've decided to start is to be in bed at a certain time so my wife knows that I love her, that I care about her, that I end my day there right beside her. Now, is that the type of deep spiritual thing you'd think your pastor would have in his playbook? Well, mine is full of little things like that, practical, measurable, but difference-making plays. Another one that's very a good example in for my city, in my playbook, I've committed that whenever I pull into my garage, whenever I pull into my street, if there's anybody out on the street, I will talk to them before I go in my house. Why? How can I love my neighbor if I don't talk to my neighbor? And if I didn't have this in my playbook, I would be hitting that garage door before I even opened up my car door to get out. But having this as a practice has made conversations happen that would have never happened otherwise. Has opened up opportunities to build an actual relationship with my neighbors. You know, my playbook makes unleashing love practical and intentional, and I'm in it every week, tweaking it, changing it, challenging myself. And the cool thing is I get to look back through the months, and I can actually see where God has changed me. I can actually see the things that are simple practices now, they're habits. I can see when I started them and why. And it's because I was available, and I was present, and I was letting God use me in some real ways. That's what these playbooks are for. Now, if you didn't have a chance this past week, I hope you got onto the 7-day playbook devotional, and if you didn't, I encourage you, jump on and do that today. It was put together by some of our awesome folks on staff, and it'll really help you ask the right questions and define what matters most. And then take those steps and use it. And if you haven't done it yet, I encourage you, hit it on the app today and start just 10 minutes a day. It'll put you on the fast track to starting to live the Love the Ville lifestyle in an awesome way. Now, last week, we started focusing on loving the Ville in the church, and we spent most of our time talking about three ways that every single one of us can do that: engaging in community, practicing generosity, and serving one another. And we call that being a stakeholder here at Northeast, someone who is fully engaged in the mission of the church. And today, as we go deeper in that, I'd like to read a scripture out of Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. And as we read this, I ask you, would you as a church stand, if you're able, at home, stand with us as we read God's word together. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace, for there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. That's beautiful. Now, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies, so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Amen. You could be seated, and thank you all for standing. Paul so beautifully describes the church and how it works together, and he starts with unity. And that's a great place to start because that's exactly where Jesus left it. When Jesus was praying before he went to the garden and was arrested, do you know what he was praying for? He was praying for us. He was praying, he said this, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's you and me. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Perfect unity. Well, that sounds so attractive, doesn't it? Have you ever seen perfect unity? We get a glimpse of it every once in a while, don't we? That moment at the wedding where the vows have been stated and the rings have been placed, and then there's the kiss. Perfect. Now, hopefully this isn't the only moment of perfect unity you get to experience in your wedding and in your marriage, but it does get more complicated from there. What about the days when the Yum Center used to sell out? Those moments where there would be 22,000 fans in red and one guy in blue. There's always one guy in blue. And they are just shouting like crazy for the Cards. Like one of those moments where the Cards just take the lead and then they go down and they have a really good defensive stand and it's getting low in the shot clock and the crowd just starts roaring and the hairs on the back of your neck stand up and you just feel like you're going to burst out of your skin when everybody is cheering for the same thing. Unity, a perfect unity. I'll never forget in 2017 getting to go see U2's Joshua Tree tour with my son. It was one of my favorite moments in my life. It was a dream come true getting to watch my favorite band play my favorite album, and I was 10 feet away from the stage. And I have to admit, I wept a few times, especially when we sang Pride in the Name of Love. What more in the name of love as 53,000 voices joined with the band? People of young and old, every color, every political leaning, everyone singing together the same thing. But that perfect unity is short-lived, isn't it? Because as soon as those lights went up, everybody beat each other to the door, honking horns, choice phrases, cutting each other off in the parking lot, we all reverted back to our primal selves, because perfect unity, oh man, it's fleeting, isn't it? It's elusive, but it's so attractive. Jesus said so. He said that the world will know that what he is saying is true when he sees this body that he's left behind, a group of all these different parts, all different colors, all different backgrounds, all different life experiences, all political sides, and yet somehow they still fit together perfectly. I love what C.S. Lewis says about the unity of the church. He says, for the church is not a human society of people united by their natural affinities, but the body of Christ, in which all members, however different, and he rejoices in the differences, and by no means wishes to iron them out, but however different, must share the common life, complementing and helping one another precisely by their differences. And it's beautiful. And as Paul urges us, this is not going to be our natural inclination. That's why we have to be always humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace, because unity requires work. But that work is so worth it. And when we get it right, Jesus says that it's the proof, that this is an evidence, that this is a confirmation that something supernatural is going on here. To be honest, as a worldwide church, we have failed miserably at this over the years, haven't we? It's my prayer that this church can set an example of what unity looks like, both internally and with other churches. Let that start with us. There's a dire need for unity today. You know, when a church hits the conscience of the community or the 6 o'clock news, it's usually because of a failure or a condemnation or a scandal. And wouldn't it be better to hit it for a positive reason? That's part of the reason why we're in this Love the Ville movement. We're changing the way people think about church by redefining it around the love of Jesus, no strings attached. And we do that with generosity. We do that with servanthood. We do that because we walk the walk and we talk the talk when the time is right. And if we're going to really do it right, Jesus says, you need to be one. You need to be unified, because that is the most amazing proof, undeniable proof. He says, for there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future, that we will all be in heaven together, guys. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. And God doesn't expect us to do this on our own. No, we're powered by His Holy Spirit, and He's given us an example and a way. It says He has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. The Bible mentions time and time again that each follower in Jesus has been given a gift. Oh, and I see a hand in the front row. Tyler's always answering hands in the back row. I thought I'd take a question from up front. Yes, you have a question? These spiritual gifts, I did a test on these one time, and I scored high in discernment and grace. So I'm taking notes on everything you're saying wrong, but don't worry, I'll forgive you later. Are these the gifts you're speaking of? Thank you for your grace, and good question. The Bible does mention a bunch of different gifts. And a few places, there are some really comprehensive lists. And 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 are the two places to find those. And while those tests and inventories can be great tools to help you see how God has gifted you, those aren't the only things you can use to serve the body. How has God naturally gifted you? What life experiences has God given you to serve the body? You know, one of my best friends has a spouse that has dealt with mental illness for so many years. And it took his wife to some of the darkest and scariest places. And he went there with her. He never gave up on her. He's one of my heroes. And now, after decades of healing, she's now in a better place than she's ever been before. And they now are able to reach out and help others who are going through those same horrible experiences. And you know what? That's never going to come up on a gifts inventory. But God is using their story to help others. In Ephesians, Paul is next going to go into a list of some of these gifts or even gifted leaders. But before he does that, he says it's really important for us to remember on how we are to serve, our attitude. Paul says, look at Jesus. Even though he was in the highest heights, he descended to our lowly world. Paul said this very same type of thing in Philippians when he said, Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And you know, this is our ultimate example of how we are to serve. If the Lord, who is the head of our body, lived this way, how much more should we? No matter how seriously we take ourselves or how important we think we are, Jesus, God on earth, humbled himself and served, and we should be too. And the next group that Paul lists needs that constant reminder. Now, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Hear that? I'm a gift. Oh, wait, the humble thing. That's right. Well, what is our responsibility? The responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. The teachers and pastors are not to do all the work, but to equip God's people. Everyone who follows Jesus, you stakeholders here at Northeast, we are to equip you to do his work and to build up the church. We can give the challenge, we can give the encouragement, even present the opportunities, but it's up to every single disciple to do their part. And here Paul says, specifically in the church. So how are you unleashing love in the church? As we open back up, we keep pointing you to our serve page and on our app and on our website, and that way you can see all the opportunities in one place. And that page this week was getting some pretty heavy traffic, so we hope that you are finding a place to plug in and engage. And at that time, we also mentioned we have some real needs. And to give you just a little peek into some of those ministry areas, I've asked a few of our awesome ministry leaders just to cast a little vision and tell you about what they're looking for when it comes to volunteers. First, I'd like for us to hear from our family ministries team.
Hi, Northeast. I'm Julie Pate, the nursery director, sitting in an empty nursery that I haven't been able to be in almost a year. It's a little surreal. I'm looking forward to it being filled with laughter again. As a ministry leader, I need volunteers to be able to provide the nursery and preschool to our families. But because of amazing volunteers, we get to provide an area that's fun and safe and filled with love. So our families can feel good about dropping their kids off, so they can go worship, refuel, recharge, and pray, and get ready for the week ahead. Our nursery and our preschool volunteers aren't just providing childcare. We see it as our mission to walk alongside parents and families and partner with them on their child's faith journey. We see the importance of investing in the life of a future stakeholder, even our youngest future stakeholders. We see that nursery and preschool is a first glimpse of what church is. In here, we worship, they get Bible stories read to them, they learn Bible verses, and here we call them memory verses. We play games and we do coloring sheets and crafts that reinforce our weekly lesson. But our volunteers do it in a way that makes it fun so that kids look forward to coming here every week. I get texts and emails from parents who send me videos of their kids doing their memory verses, pictures of their artwork and their crafts that they do here at church on their refrigerator. These kids are excited about being here, and so are their families. One of my favorite things to witness is a child who's brought to the nursery who at first doesn't love it. In fact, cries, separation anxiety is real in here. But because their parents continue to bring them week after week, and our volunteers love them and show them that it can be fun, that eventually those kids don't just stop crying. They actually run into the nursery excited and smiling because they're so happy to be here. When you serve in the nursery or preschool, you get to be a part of their beginning. You get to be a part of their foundation of faith. You get to be there when they take those first steps towards a path filled with God. So I cannot promise that every time you serve is going to be life-changing. To be perfectly honest, there are going to be weeks where it's just about controlling the chaos or holding a fussing baby. But what I can promise you is that there are going to be so many life-changing moments, not just for the children you're serving, but for you as well. So I would like to encourage you to serve in the nursery or preschool. Those future stakeholders, they need you.
Here at Northeast, we love kids, and we have so much fun teaching them how much God loves them. In our elementary ministry, we exist to bring Love the Ville to life by learning about God and having fun together. And we know that God is not boring, so we don't think church should be boring. Everything we do centers around having fun with the kids and learning about God together. You know, right now in the midst of a global pandemic, human connection and community have never been more important. And it's the same way for our kids. Mental health issues have sprung up across the board, and we're seeing that in our kids. People are searching for hope and for answers, and so are our kids. Kids ministry has never been more important than it is right now. And the challenges we're facing have never been greater than they are right now. But our opportunity to impact these kids with the love of Jesus has never been greater than it is right now. You know, right now we have been working to safely open up all of our elementary areas during all of our services. And we've worked very hard to create a fun and exciting and an engaging environment for your kids to come and learn about God. We have such an incredible team of volunteers who have literally served for years to impact these kids. But the reality of the situation is that we need more. Right now we need 30 to 40 more people who would be willing to step up and fill this need. You don't have to feel like you're passionate about kids. You don't have to feel like you're a gifted teacher. All I'm asking for from you is that you be willing to fill a need right now that the church has. And here is the incentive for you. For every person who comes and serves within elementary, I'm going to let you pie me in the face in front of the kids on video where it will live forever. So what can you expect if you come serve in elementary? A fun time and a community of people who loves serving together. Guys, we have so much fun over here. But by just showing up, you are helping provide a safe space for these kids to come and learn about how much God loves them. By just showing up, you are helping plant seeds in their heart about who Jesus is and how he wants to have a relationship with them. By just showing up, you are making an eternal impact that you will never know in the hearts of every child that walks in the doors of these NE Kids buildings. In my humble opinion, there is nothing more important. So if changing poopy diapers or passing communion trays doesn't sound like your idea of fun, come on over to NE Kids Elementary, where all our kids are potty trained, allegedly. Thank you all.
Nudging you to get involved in our family ministries. And I'll tell you what, this area is near and dear to my life because my life, my family's lives have been changed by people who stepped up and said, I'll rock that baby. I'll teach that preschool class. I'll lead that small group. You know, I came here as a middle school punk, and it was Tim, this young sponsor, volunteer, who was the one who made me feel at home. And then since then, there was Joan and Toby and Lisa and John, who all modeled and challenged me of what Jesus's love looked like. And they have all been part of my story of life change, all volunteers. And I know that many of you who are in this church today, you've been that exact same person to my family as they've grown up and have even left church and gone off into college. You're the ones who are still sending them notes and sending them gifts. Sure, our staff is awesome, but it's these volunteers who make such a lifelong difference. Maybe God is calling you to be the person who's going to make the change in someone's life in our next generation. He needs you to do that. Step up. Another place we need help is in our first impressions. And here's CJ to tell you a little more about that.
Hey there, I'm CJ. I'm the First Impressions pastor here at Northeast. You know, I'm passionate about First Impressions for a lot of reasons, but the most important one can probably be boiled down to our team motto. It's something that we say on our team each and every week. It's that every service is somebody's first service. For me, it's just a reminder of why what we do is so important. The goal of our First Impressions team is to remove every barrier to encountering Jesus and to make Northeast feel like home. Think back to the first time you came here. You probably remember a great message or awesome music, but I hope that, like me, what you really remember is the person at the door, the people that are so friendly, the person handing out coffee. And I gotta say, for us, moving here to a new city where we didn't know anybody, that really made all the difference and made Northeast feel like home. Right now, we have a couple of different ways that you can serve on our First Impressions team. Whether it's with our parking team, which is an awesome group of folks that make our parking lots run smoothly and safely, or as one of our door greeters. They're the folks that you walk by with the good mornings and the smiles that make Northeast feel so friendly. We'd love to have you come join us. Each and every weekend, we have people coming through our doors who desperately need the love of Jesus. Whether they're experiencing a divorce or another significant life change, or maybe they're just new to the Ville and they really need a friend. We want everyone who comes here to experience a smile, a high five, and most importantly, to encounter the love of Jesus.
Some of you all need to jump on that team and make this the most welcoming church in the universe. Another place that you can serve is on our online campus, Northeast Anywhere. And hear me say again, it's a campus. Now, I know that many of you all have really appreciated the services being streamed during COVID, but Adrian and the church have been working really hard to make sure that our online campus is a place where you can be a fully engaged stakeholder.
When we started really dreaming about what Church Online could be here at Northeast, we zeroed in on this idea that you could be a part of Northeast no matter where you happen to be. And you know why? Because it has always been a part of our DNA here at Northeast that the church is not a place, it's a people. And that is exactly what you are, a group of people who are united behind the cause of unleashing the love of Jesus every day to everybody, everywhere. And so as a part of our online campus, we believe in having the opportunities to get fully invested as stakeholders in community and generosity and in servanthood. As a part of our online campus, we've made it really easy for you to give online, either through our website or our app. We've made it really simple to plug into community, whether it's through watch parties or through virtual groups or other types of community groups that meet online. And we've also made it super easy to plug in so that you can serve. Did you know that every weekend we have a team of volunteer chat hosts who serve from any place they happen to be? It's so simple. Whether they are at home or at the lake or on vacation or a business trip, they can serve the church by hopping into the chat and talking with people. Our chat hosts are people who share relevant information and they greet people and say hello. They even have important conversations and pray with people who need prayer. This is a place where our people come the very first time they ever interact with Northeast. You know, we know that people who are attending Northeast for the first time typically go to an online service first. And when somebody shows up in one of our online services, the chat host is someone who can give them a really tangible way to see that we believe that you matter to God. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, we got to celebrate with a girl who attended a service on Northeast Live. And she had a couple of conversations with us right there in the online chat and let us know later that because of that chat, because of that connection that we were able to build there, she made the choice to get baptized at Northeast. She gave her life to Jesus. And it was because of a volunteer in the chat on Northeast Live. What an incredible opportunity. So what about you? Are you looking for an opportunity to serve no matter where you happen to be? Do you have an internet connection? It really can be that simple to serve your church no matter where you are.
You know, whether it's one of the opportunities you just heard about or one of the other things, I encourage you, get onto the app, check out the serve opportunities, put it in your playbook, get in the game. You know, because what happens when every part of the church is playing its part? We see this. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to all the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love, unleashing love every day, every body, everywhere. May God say that of this church. Will you pray with me? Dear God, I thank you for these playbooks that help us to be intentional. I thank you for the church that you've given us, this body that helps each other, that loves each other, that gives each other grace. Lord, that we get to be an example of perfect unity so that when others look at us, they know something supernatural is going on here. And Lord, it's not for our glory, but it's for yours. It's for your kingdom. It's so that your kingdom continues to grow here in Louisville and beyond. Lord, we love you and we trust in you. Give us strength and wisdom to follow you and to be intentional. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.